The Masters 2023 preview, top plays, core plays, first look build, course history, top stat fits, top specialists, and top in recent form. Let's break it down for you. All right, everyone. So the hot streak continued once again last week. We were able to hit an outright bet winner as well with Corey Connors at 21. That was pretty awesome. But as a whole, if we take a look at the player pool, very solid stuff. 24 players, only two missed cuts. Ryan Fox, he got us. And a quarter of the players finished top 20 or better, which is obviously good stuff. Two top fives, five top tens, you know, just solid stuff across the board there. And then I mentioned week in and week out, like the value plays have been crazy thus far this season. It's been kind of surprising just how easy they have been to really call out on the player pool. And so looking at it last week, I didn't get too much exposure to any of the players value price point wise, but we can see pretty good results there from that value tier. One top 10 and then one missed cut as well. You know, we'll certainly take that with six players total. Andrew Novak was in there as well. So it's been pretty awesome thus far this season to give not only profitable advice week in and week out, but like the last 5 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, giving GPP winning advice directly to you guys as well, which is just awesome to me. Like, it's a great feeling. Hopefully you guys have been able to take advantage of that, because it's truly been one of those fun seasons thus far. Kind of easier seasons thus far as well. Hopefully that continues this week with the Masters. And obviously those results are just being pulled directly from the 9 to 5 members right up. That's available included in your $10 9 to 5 membership. Best value in fantasy golf, best value really in fantasy sports out there for you guys. But yes, we have the 2023 Masters tournament. And I'm actually kind of curious to you guys. I have an interesting take. It's the Masters is such a strange tournament in the sense that, like, competitively, it's probably one of the most overrated sporting events for any major sporting event there is out there. Probably the most overrated. But in terms of being a spectacle, it's probably the best spectacle in all of sports. And why is that? Well, it's a no-cut event. You know, players like Ricky Fowler, who's probably a top 20 player in the world right now, didn't make the tournament. You got a bunch of past champions. Probably some live golfers that don't deserve to be there exactly. It's just an interesting tournament in that aspect. But obviously, it's a fun tournament. They're able to invest a lot of money into it, which makes it really appealing for everyone. But fantasy golf-wise, it's a very interesting week because it's a tournament that pretty much operates like a glorified no-cut event. Sure, there's going to be a couple of missed cuts, but for the most part, it takes a little bit more luck than any other big tournament that's out there. But with it being such a spectacle on the sports spectrum, it brings in a lot of casual fans each week. So the edge that we lose with the tournament setup and really not having good value plays because we're not pulling in all the top players in the world. Because of that, we do lose slight edge. Like, typically no cut events, we pull in and do studs and duds. We can't exactly do that with the Masters, but with it pulling in so many casual players each year, there typically is still kind of a big edge there because they'll do some, let's just say, weird stuff. There's a lot more people that try to put out Masters content as well, which does help to create an edge there as well. So it's kind of a weird thing there. I'm actually very curious as to your guys' thoughts on that. But we kind of know how the tournament's going to play. Let's just talk about course history here. We can see the past winners here. I would say the last three winners were highly predictable. Like Scotty, easy to predict. Hideki, he was like 45-1 odds, but he was one of the favorites to win in the data. And that's kind of when we started to see a big shift in how sportsbooks really started to value golf data. And then DJ as well, like that, he was the top play that week as well. So no real shocks. Obviously, the Tiger Woods one was a little bit shocking. Like, if we go further back, more shocking results in there. And so some people might not be pulling in the DJ Masters win for course history because it was played in the fall and it played significantly different than really any other Masters. I decided to include it, but I could see kind of why people might not want to do that. But including that, we can see these are the top players course history wise. Willie Z, and he's going to be the most interesting play this week because I feel like the general public is going to be on much more than they should be. So he'd probably be someone that would be an easy fade in that regard because he has been struggling lately, but obviously does have good course history. JT coming in at a soft price point like that. John Rahm, he's another one ownership wise, given the strong course history and given the fact that he's sandwiched between Scotty and Rory, could be a very interesting play there as well. Hideki has strong course history, has been had two really good starts in a row now. He is someone that's kind of a dark horse, someone that prior to last week, and this is why, and I'll get into recent form, this is why recent form, the last tournament matters. A lot of people, and I did this as well last week, will pump out content and picks really on Monday morning or prior to the data from last week's tournament being implemented into sample sizes. And it's crazy how much just one tournament should shift and does shift the data. And Hideki's one of those players. Cam Smith, You know, fourth highest priced player on the slate, probably warranted. LIV golf player. I'll get into the LIV takes here as well. Interesting there. We continue on. Cordy Connors, probably going to be chalky, but he should be. Cameron Champ, probably going to be an easy fade. I could see him being overowned, more overowned than he should be. Just been playing terrible golf, but obviously great course history. I'm actually curious here. Okay, I didn't know if Cameron Champ had local ties or not. Wanted to pull that up. And so just as an FYI for anyone that's unfamiliar with the 9-to-5 cheat sheet here, the player profile tab, typically speaking, on the cheat sheet, you would click on a player and then click on player profile, that would pop it up. And that's just like a quick view, you know, with all the relevant data for that week's tournament. But then if you're on like a different page, let's say course history again, and then you click on player profile, that'll sort it up. So you can really kind of see like this, a chart view as well. So obviously Cameron Champ probably staying away from it. But we go further back and like Kevin Na, very interesting as well. Tony Finau is going to be an easy play. Patrick Reed, what do we do with him? You know, Kyle Morikawa, probably an easy fade as well. Not playing the best golf, although Willie Z and Kyle Morikawa could be players that, you know, maybe do something. Siwoo Kim, probably a good play. Like course history does matter. And I do want to point that out, like course history does matter. But I feel like the gap of course history mattering is starting to get smaller and smaller. I think part of the reason why we see course history matter a lot at this tournament could be due to literally the size of the tournament and the low-end players that are playing in it as well. Because for the most part, it is easier to make the cut at this tournament. But I will say there are more random-made cuts from golfers with bad form at this tournament more so than any other tournament as well. Let's go ahead and look at recent form. So recent form wise, obviously it's going to be Scottie Scheffler coming in, just spectacular golf. Okay, 12 straight make cuts in a row. We can see his last four starts, fourth, first, fourth, 12th, first. And really he was a mental, I would say mental putt away from probably winning the Dell Technologies match play tournament as well, which is what we're seeing there. He was going against Sam Burns, which is one of his good friends. If you guys are PGA Tour fans, you heard that about 20 times that week. But I, honestly, I feel like if it was any other golfer, he probably makes that putt. But he didn't. And so fourth place finish is still great. I mean, freaking great form. Max Homa as well, 14 straight make cuts in a row. Obviously been playing some spectacular golf as well. He does have bad course history, but that's where I could see people maybe taking the course history narrative a little bit too far. I expect Max Homa to have a great week this week. This is the best golf he's been playing. I would say, you know, Scotty, Rom, Rory, if you want to include him there after the last two tournaments, Max Homa, you know, those are the top four players in the world. And then you toss in maybe Cam Smith. We just haven't seen Cam Smith enough to say he's a top four player in the world. If you want to go back to when we last saw him on the PGA Tour and stuff, sure, you can include that. Regardless of how you phrase it, Max Homa is a top five player in the world, just given how well he's been playing. And then obviously we have John Rahm. Jason Day is also someone that really just keeps spitting out great results. And I'm actually, if Jason Day, given this solid form, is at 8.7, which is a very cheap price tag, I really wish we would have got Ricky in the field, because I feel like he would have been like 7.5, just been really disrespected price point wise. And then we look at Xander. Xander's been playing some great golf. Even with those, like the back concerns from the Century Tournament Champions, he has been putting out some great starts. And so he's someone we can be looking at. We see Tony Finau popping up there, Victor Hovland. There's obviously a lot of great golfers coming in with a lot of great form. So that's what's going to make this week, you know, definitely interesting there. And then specialist wise, this is, I love the specialist data. It's fun to look at, but a lot of times people will tend to maybe overvalue a specific one too much, you know, maybe greens. What I do is I put it all into one data point. So like we had the amount of bunkers. Are there a lot of bunkers on the tournament? Who's the course designer? Fairway length, fairway width. Okay, green size, green speeds. We're tossing that data all into one data point. Location. So players that played well at Georgia courses, the par rank, you know, par 72. Rough amount. Is there a lot of rough? So obviously we don't have that much rough. Rough length, scoring, harder scoring track. Okay. And if you guys just want the simple one, we can see these are going to be the top specialists, but it's really fun in that aspect that we can toss in all these unique data points. Now I'm pulling in a old tool for this tournament specifically because I want to see how players produce in the rain, because the weather conditions are telling us that it might be windy. So what I did is I typed in rain. I record all the weather aspects of that tournament. That's why I'm able to give out unique data points that really aren't available anywhere else. The issue with rain is it typically leads to a stoppage, play suspension, or play delayed until the next day. And so that's why I don't have it as a specific data point like I do with wind. That's why I'm going through and I'm just clicking all the tournaments that had rain with it. And some of you guys are probably wondering why I don't include this really anymore. Well, it's just less is more. I just want to give out the most direct data points. It's people come in, they can see who are the top players are. Don't need to overthink it. I think that's I don't think that is the biggest problem that people have in fantasy golf is they do too much. Less is more sometimes. So we can see Minwoo Lee only has two starts going into the sample size, but has played well. Same thing with Ryan Fox, who was really the only big disappointment last week. Patrick Cantlay. So he's popping up in there. Just interesting stuff. Kevin Na. Oh, man. Are we going to have to play Kevin Na? Interesting there. JT, Rory, Hovland, Finau, Rahm, Willie Z, Tiger popping up in there. And guys, this is in the 9to5 database, which goes back, you know, 6 years or so. Most of the time when I'm giving this data, it's the past 4 years because that's when the data is most significant. Obviously, with a data point like this where it's a very small sample size, I'm just pulling them all in. But we can kind of just see. And then let's just look at who are players that might struggle more. And they're going to be the players that you would kind of expect, right? I mean, like maybe Keith Mitchell, he's a player that I like. Maybe we stay away from him now because he struggles in the rain. That's about it. Salih Tagala, that's kind of alarming there. Seamus Power as well. DJ probably not touching then. You know, it's kind of another way to look at it, but just want to give you guys that information. I thought it was possibly useful, possibly could be an edge this week. And then lastly here, let's get into the top stat fits. Now, I am definitely pulling in much more data points than this key stat wise. Pulling in par five scoring, okay? Pulling in strokes gained approach. Pulling in ball striking total driving. Obviously, this is Augusta National. They are designing this course to be challenging, okay? It's supposed to be the most unique tournament that is also the most challenging. Okay, that is how it's set up to be. That's why I want to include all those data points. And what's interesting, Bryson, if we go back far enough, we'll be pulling in some stats as well. I'm not touching Bryson. I just thought that was interesting. We go lower, Usti as well, but then we get to Finau, Hatton, Cantlay, Neiman popping up in there, Homa, Jason Day, Fox. Ugh, I'm not touching Fox, man, buddy. So we can kind of just see who those top stat fits are. Now let's go ahead and get into the high tier price point tier. Now, I do want to start off with saying the question everyone probably has is, what do we do with these live golfers? It is very difficult to know kind of where they are at competitively, okay? And this is very difficult to gauge. Last season, basically all the live golfers sucked that were going over to live golf. They were producing results that were always, I shouldn't say always, obviously there's other, like DJ had a couple of good starts. Cam Smith, he really played on the PGA Tour up until the new season. So he doesn't really count in this, but they were all producing results that were less than expected. And it kind of made it tough to gauge. And then it was once those players left the PGA Tour for LIV Golf, it was kind of eye-opening. It's like, oh, okay, that's why, because they weren't as mentally invested in those tournaments. And they were just, you know, playing to play more or less. They had 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And so now the question is, with so many rounds of not really competitive golf, and I know some of you guys are probably LIV fans and say, no, it is competitive golf. Yes, yes and no. Obviously, there's no cut. If they don't have it that week, it doesn't really matter. They're still going to get their paycheck. It's just a different mental aspect. The good thing for those golfers is the fact that I started this video saying, hey, the Masters is pretty much a glorified no-cut event. And so with that, in a unique way, it could kind of benefit those LIV golfers because, well, they've been playing in those no-cut events. You know, they've been playing in that kind of aspect there. So kind of interesting there. Obviously, they're going to have to play another round, and that's where I know they did throughout their whole careers, but at the same time, you take and add in another round, it's tough to see them really producing desirable results, kind of given their price points, especially with some of those players. Now, there is a couple that I'll call out that I think are going to be good plays. And like for me, Cam Smith is going to be one of those players I think can kind of take the mental hurdle and go out and play well. He's played well at this tournament in the past. Now, DJ kind of seems to be playing better golf, but like a lot of people are going to resort to like the Orlando LIV event. Like that's a home tournament for a lot of those guys, being in Orlando, being in Florida. Brooks Koepka won it. I would say like, yeah, it's in Florida. They probably should have played well. Obviously, it's a cheap price point, but he's going to be tough to click on when we have better safety in other players as price point that are also as cheap and probably better upside plays. We don't have to worry about kind of the mental aspect of them. And so what do we do with Brooks? It's tough to say, like, where is he at mentally? Because with Brooks, it's never really, how's his game looking? It's really never been that. This guy would suck coming into majors and then produce some good results. So I really don't care about this. Is he worth tossing in a little bit? Probably. Was he actually injured coming into last year's Masters? Maybe. I think it was more of a mental thing for him. I think he was just kind of wore out. It is a soft price point. I might be able to end up on him. You know, Patrick Reed's going to try to play well. It's going to be tough to see him not making the cut. Like, he wants to send a message. If you talk about players that are like PGA versus LIV, it's Patrick Reed. He'd be probably number one on that list. I would say Cam Smith doesn't really care about like PGA versus LIV. DJ obviously doesn't care. I don't think Brooks cares. Patrick Reed is probably a player that does care. So maybe there's an edge there. Then lastly, someone like Mito. Like, seems like a soft price tag for him. Doesn't have any Masters experience. At the same time, that's probably why I expect him to be mentally sharp, because it is going to be his first start here. Okay, so just kind of interesting thoughts there. And I could go further, but I don't think we want to touch Sergio. He's kind of sucked at this tournament the last 2 years. We could potentially play maybe Taylor Gooch, but it's okay. Let's go ahead and get into the high-tier plays now that we got the live aspect out of it. So let's start out with Scottie Scheffler here. Scottie Scheffler is obviously the top play this week, at like 7-1 odds. He's just a play that makes the most sense as well. And I'm actually glad that DraftKings finally like priced up some plays. Remember John Rahm for like 3 months straight was coming in way too cheap. I would say relatively speaking, with Rahm and Rory's price tags, Scotty is correctly priced. Has tremendous course history, has been playing great golf, second best specialist in the field, fourth best course history, best in recent form, best stat fit, top player in the 9-to-5 model. It's going to be very difficult not to end up on Scottie Scheffler. It's going to be very tough to see Scottie Scheffler struggling. He is a player that I think we should just be going out of our way to play. The only way I would not end up on Scottie is if he is extreme chalk. And if he's extreme chalk, that would mean someone like John Rahm would be pretty undervalued. And I don't see that happening this week. John Rahm is someone I'm pretty excited to play, though, if he is coming in at low ownership. Tremendous course history, 27th, 5th, 7th, 9th. And I know his like results haven't been the best lately. You know, his worst two events, the last two times. That was also coming in off of a withdrawal. Rahm was running hot. He needs to have some, you know, kind of bad weeks. I think it's kind of going to be a good mental reset for him. I think he's going to be good to go. And if you guys are wondering why I'm more defaulting to my 9-to-5 cheat sheet, it's because DraftKings doesn't have the Dell Technologies Match Play Tournament. I think that's a crucial tournament to have as a data point this week, because it's a very mental grind. And he didn't actually play that well in that tournament, just as an FYI. Prior to that, I have been playing well. And I think the best example for why Rahm would be a good play would actually be looking at Rory. Rory had a fourth place finish at the Dell, or third place finish at the Dell Match Play Tournament. He easily could have lost to Xander Schauffele to not make the Final Four, but he also easily could have beat Cameron Young to then make it to the championship as well. It was very tight, but it's nice to see him playing well. The biggest thing with Rory here is the change to his driver. He changed the shaft in his driver after the Players' Championship. He was very vocal about not liking his driver. And unlike Bryson, Rory was able to, if you guys remember Bryson last year, I think it was at the Masters where he said he was like hitting on a razor's edge with his driver, whatever. Rory was able to figure out literally with the next tournament and looked elite, okay? He is someone that is coming in looking spectacular. Now, if I pull him up here on the cheat sheet, he's not going to be popping up too well. Why? Because he does have some undesirable results coming in. You know, miscut at this tournament 2 years ago. I don't really care about that. The data does a little bit. That's why he's getting knocked a little bit. I can look past that, because besides that, it has a 2nd, 5th, and 21st place finish. Given the fact that we know that he was struggling with his driver and has since corrected it, we think Rory should be treated as, I think, the second best play this week. And also given the fact that he has been taking and doing practice rounds at Augusta National the past 2 weeks, apparently looking great, it's going to be tough to avoid. So for me, it is going to go Scotty, Rory, Rahm. Those are the big three. We need to be targeting those three. I probably want to have the most exposure to Scotty, but Rory makes a lot of sense. I would say, man, Rory, if he doesn't get done this week, and I shouldn't say, there's a lot of pressure on him. He puts a lot of pressure on himself as well. He wants to shove it in those live golfers' faces as much as someone like Patrick Reed and Greg Norman want to play well or have live golfers do well. Rory equally wants to do that as well for the PGA Tour. So those are clearly the top three plays. Let's go on and get into some other really good price point plays. So I don't know about you guys, but I was extremely shocked at the price point that we got for Jordan Spieth. I don't really get it. We can get better plays or just as good a plays at a cheaper price tag. So for me, just given the price point, it's going to be someone that's going to be a fade. And it's not like he's a bad play by any means, but the Masters is very much a tournament, especially top-wise, where it's very small, the little edges that we are getting, and I feel like we are losing an edge if we'd be playing Jordan Spieth at this price tag. Now, sure, can he be in contention? Well, definitely. He's been a little bit hit or miss, though. And so, really, the bet would be for him to not get a top 10. And what I mean by that is, like, really, right after that, at a $200 price decrease, Patrick Cantlay is a really strong-looking play this week. He's coming in with four good results, other than what DraftKings would say. Four good results here, including the Dell Match Play Tournament. Hasn't had the best course history here, which to me is a little bit shocking. It does seem like he has been struggling mentally with the greens, but it's not like, you know, the past two starts have been bad. 39th missed cut, but then prior to that, 17th, 9th. I feel like given those results that he's had recently at this tournament, he's going to be someone that's going to be disrespected ownership-wise, and I wouldn't be shocked if he's the top ownership leverage play. We don't have that data coming in just yet. It's a little bit too early for that, but he is someone that wouldn't be shocking to see come in as a top play for the Masters ownership-wise. And in that scenario, I think we could be on him more because I do expect Jordan to be chalk, and it'd be one of those situations where they're priced right next to each other. Thus, we'd want to be on Cantlay a little bit more ownership wise. And then from there, let's just scroll down a little bit so you guys can see it. Like JT is someone that really is looking like a standout play. Strong course history, 8th, 21st, 4th, 12th. The issue with him is going to be his like lack of great starts. I just don't think we have to worry about him missing the cut. He's produced some good results. They just haven't been like elite. And so I'm glad we're not getting him at, let's say, Jordan's price point. He does rank out as a better play than Jordan this week, just given the fact that he's a little bit safer than Jordan as a play. He seems like a very safe play. Do I think JT can win this week? Yeah, obviously, yes. But I feel like because the only reason why we'd be playing him is for safety, and this is basically a glorified no-cut event, I don't know how much I'll be able to end up on JT this week. And then I do want to mention Max Homa again, because I feel like a lot of people are going to put too much weight on ownership or on course history. And the thing with Max Homa is he was not a great player in his first two starts at this tournament. Last year, kind of a lackluster start, though, 48th. But I think just making the cut, having that course experience is going to go a far way. Reason for him why second best in the field. Stat fit wise, top 10 stat fit. Overall, top 10 play in the 9-5 mile while having some of the worst course history in the field. Top 12 specialist as well. Now, I know Augusta does somewhat take some shot shaping, and Max Homa is very much what changed his kind of career was I'm not doing all these different shots. Max Homa decided that, hey, I'm going to be a straight hitter. I'm not going to make those stupid shots that have a lot more variables that go into it. And so that could be a reason why he does struggle, especially if he's not hitting it as well as he typically does. I just think he's going to be someone that does step up. I'm very curious to see what his ownership is as well, because he could be someone like Cantlay, comes in a little bit too low owned. We are getting a top five player in the world at an extremely low price point. And then from there, I do want to mention Xander Schauffele and, well, Tony Finau would be a mid-tier play. Xander, to me, if any of you guys have been following this channel for a while, you're probably doing well DFS-wise, but also, you know that Xander's one of my favorite players. Now, every year, there's always kind of some sort of random miscut. To me, that was Xander last year, 2 years ago. It was Sungjae Im 3 years ago. It was Sergio, I believe. 4 years ago, Paul Casey, where there are these like really strong plays that just didn't have it that week. You know, it is fantasy golf. Players might put a little bit too much pressure on themselves and then just struggle. We look at Xander as well. I kind of feel like that's what happened because he had been someone that really was right in contention to tournaments out of the last 4 years. We see that third and second place finish. Great results. And so maybe he just put a little bit of pressure on himself. Now, I love the fact that Xander is coming in really looking strong. You know, he almost beat Rory to make it to the championship or to make it to the final four of that Dell Technologies match play tournament. I thought that was huge for him. He's never played poorly at the Dell Technologies match play tournament, but he definitely took that next step. Now, he did have the second easiest path to the final four, given his draw, but it was nice to see him be able to convert out of that. Now, if we look at it, we can see recent form-wise, over the past 15, over the past 5, and over the past 10 starts, ranks out top 10 or better, top 8 or better in all those. Third best specialist in the field. He is someone that should produce good results at this tournament. He's just an even keel type of player, which is kind of what you need at this tournament. He can't be high and low. And so I expect him to bounce back. I think he makes for a great outright bet as well. If he were to win, though, I feel like he'd have to like fall into it. Like he would have to be chasing the leader. Xander is a funny guy. He had a chance to kind of close out Rory. And it's like literally every time he gets a chance to like close out a win, you know, take control of an event, it's a duck hook. And so I pray that he is trailing the whole tournament and then like takes the lead in the third to last group. And then who's ever winning is choking. That's how he's going to win. And for what it's worth, I would say this tournament here 4 years ago, it's a perfect example of that where right when he got into contention, right when he had a chance to really take over and take control of that tournament, he choked and he hit in the water. It's just classic Xander. And now we get into the mid-tier. I do think Tony Finau is going to be a very strong kind of play. He is basically the same play as Justin Thomas, just cheaper. And so that's where I struggle with Justin Thomas. We can see actually the data loves Tony Finau this week. It's because he has been making a ton of cuts in a row. My data really values safety while not ignoring upside. That's what my data is trying to do. So that's why someone like Tony Finau, who's been on a made cut streak, and really all of his starts have been solid starts, that's why he's getting valued over someone else. And if we look at the course history as well, he's made 4 straight cuts at this tournament as well. So it does value that a little bit more. And that's why, kind of going back to the values, that's why we have so many like little missed cuts when it comes to like the value plays there, you know, the under 7K plays, because it's really concentrating on that type of data, both safety while also capturing upside. So that's why someone like Tony Finau, you guys might see this and be like, why is he ranked third? That's going to be why. But I wouldn't say it's not warranted. Top five specialist, good results at this tournament. Heck, he popped his foot out on a practice round after making a hole in one on a par three and still went on to make the cut. He is someone I expect to play well, and he's too cheap. He kind of seems like a starting point for most rosters. So I always like to give kind of a first look build, and I hope you guys have been paying attention to that. It's been solid this season. I think he makes for a great starting point in rosters. So from there, a lot of people are going to like Jason Day, and I do too as well. You know, this is a very interesting thing where if we look back at his past two starts at this tournament, he just wasn't playing all too well like he is right now. Jason Day, you know, I say Ricky's a top 20 player in the world. I think we could argue Jason Day's a top 10 player in the world with how he's been playing. I mean, those results that he's had are just elite. You look at his past six events, his worst finish was 19th, 5th, 19th, 10th, 9th, 5th, 7th. I mean, those are just great results. And sure, if we go back too far, if we go back over his past 15 starts, 32nd in the field, if we go over his past 10 starts, 9th in the field, past five starts, second best in the field. Jason Day, like recent form wise, is extremely too cheap. And given how well he's been hitting the golf ball, it wouldn't be shocking to see us get this fifth place result like he had four years ago at this tournament. This is when I'm looking at like Jordan, and I'm like, how is Jordan $1,000 more expensive than Jason Day? Now that just seems crazy to me. And then from there, like Cameron Young, I'm fine with that as a play. Missed a cut this tournament last year. A lot of people are going to read into that. I look at it and say, great. He added that course history, had that miscut. He's going to be much more experienced now. He has a new caddy, which was Webb Simpson's old caddy. He's got Paul Tesori on the bag. A lot of people would say one of the best caddies in the world. He has him on his bag. Webb Simpson, you know, if we go back 2 years ago, had a top 10 finish at this tournament. So obviously some good knowledge coming in there for Cameron Young. And Cameron Young has been, you know, a little bit hit or miss, but it wouldn't be surprising to see him have that upside. I would say just a GPP only play, definitely not someone you'd be targeting in cash builds. So from there, I kind of hate that Hovland is popping up, but it makes sense. Once again, my data very much focuses on safety. And we can see, like, although the starts haven't been elite at this tournament, 27th, 21st, and 32nd, they have been good enough, especially given the price tag. If he can get a little bit better, give us a top 20 finish, we would take that at this price tag. Recent form-wise, he did not get out of the group stage. That was a little bit shocking because prior to that 3rd, 10th, and 20th place finish, you know, just had been having some good results. That's the thing with Victor Hovland is that he's just not mentally geared up for an event like that. I don't know what it is. I'm not saying like he's soft mentally. It just doesn't seem like in tournaments where there are better players in the field, he doesn't rise up to the occasion. It's just a weird thing. And until he gets over that mental hurdle, I don't think we can outright bet him. But in terms of like DFS play, I'm perfectly fine playing him, knowing that we should be able to get a made cut out of him. And that's where, kind of given his price tag, I'd be perfectly fine paying 8.5K for him. That just seems simply way too cheap. So I'd be fine with that as well. And I do want to mention Hideki as well. Like Hideki is one of those players where I mentioned, like, if it wasn't for really last week's results, I probably wouldn't be on him. Did have a 30 place finish at the Dell Match Play Tournament. Not good there. And then a fifth place finish. He is someone that obviously won this tournament and has tremendous course history. I think it would be a mistake not to be on Hideki somewhat, especially given the fact that we did just see this. Now, it seems like every week we get some sort of Hideki news from the Twitter Hideki tracker account. I would say let's not worry about that too much. It's like a weekly tweet at this point. It's like the winning trends tweets that are pretty much saying, hey, golfers, and I tweet this out, golfers that have good recent form, have good course history, are the golfers that tend to win. It's like, yes, no doubt. Like, that's how this stuff works, you know. That's kind of how it goes with Hideki. So I'd be fine with him as a play. He is more of a shoulder shrug play. I think if we end up on him, we feel comfortable with, we feel more than happy to end up on him, but not someone I would say we're going out of our way to target as well. And then lastly, this is a strange price point for Sungjae, but also I kind of get it. So if we look at Sungjae's course history, 8th, miscut, and 2nd, and I mentioned like a bunch of shots that live rent free in my head. Bo Hostler at the 2022 Valero Texas Open, Liz rent-free in my head, where he shanked a bunker shot OB while firmly in contention. He was a long shot bet for me. Shane Lowry chipping a bunker shot into the water at the RBC RBC Heritage on a short par three when he was firmly in control. That one gets me. Sungjae Im, I forget what hole it is to be exact, but he chipped a ball from just off the green and it rolls into the water. And then he struggles. He like got a quad on the hole. And then from that point on, he knew his Masters was done. Thus, he missed the cut. Like, random stuff does happen like that. They're going to be blow-up holes. But I kind of just see that as it was a blow-up hole, so we can kind of look past that. And so Sungjae has been having some good results now. Three straight really solid results. He had a kind of a weird mix in there of kind of bad results. But prior to that and before or since then, has been having some good results. So I think Sungjae at this price tag is also someone we are trying to go out of our way to play. We can see he's coming in as a top 10 pick in the 9-5 model. Obviously, that's going to be because of his good results at this tournament. He's always someone that ranks out as a good stat fit, but he's a top 10 specialist as well. So Sungjae is looking like one of the players that, you know, just at this price tag, every week there's like a player that's kind of just the correct play given the price tag. Ben Martin was that play last week where the price tag was just simply way too cheap. End up rewarding us with a top 12 finish. More times than not, these plays that are just simply too cheap are going to reward us with, you know, good results, top 15, top 10 finishes. Sometimes they'll just randomly miss the cut. But I will just always kind of take those plays that are the correct plays on paper. To me, that's Sungjae Im this week. All right, so now let's go ahead and shift down into that low tier price point tier. All right, so looking at, like, I'd be fine ending up on someone like Shane Lowry. He's been a little bit of a disappointment lately. Tyrrell Hatton, prior to really the whole wrist thing popping up at the Dell Technologies Match Play Tournament, had been an elite play. I do expect him to make the cut. Neiman, you know, we could end up on him. I feel like he's a little bit priced up. I don't know if I want to go out of my way to play him. Tommy Fleetwood is kind of an interesting play. He was someone that was extreme chalk a couple of times thus far this season. And he is someone that kind of just always disappoints chalk-wise, but he always does seem to show up at the Masters. I'm not saying he's someone we're really targeting, but kind of like Hideki, in a way less so way, if you end up on him to close out your build, I'd be fine with that as a play, more or less just a shoulder shrug play. So this is what's very interesting. We look on paper, like Brooks Koepka is one of the worst plays given his PGA Tour data that we have coming in. Why? Well, he was really struggling injury-wise, apparently. I think it was mentally as well. We kind of saw that with the Netflix Full Swing documentary. Course history wise, two straight missed cuts. We get that. Prior to that, had played well at this tournament. So I'm not saying he's someone that should be like a full on fade. If you guys are Brooks Koepka fans and you want to roster him, sure. But that's kind of like the only way I'm trying to play him. And then Cordy Connors. Cordy Connors is going to be one of those players that is extremely difficult not to play. I don't really care that he won last week. I think had he blown the lead, I would have been less likely to play him. But the course history is just elite. 6th, 8th, 10th, 45th. The recent form has been solid. Did have a random missed cut mixed in there, which does happen. But that missed cut was long overdue. And it was nice to see him mentally reset, go 17th and 1st since then. And if we take out that missed cut, it would be three straight top 21 or better finishes. Top 12 specialists in the field, I think that's huge. You know, nothing that really is alarming that should suggest that he is going to be a bad play. Do I think he's going to win the tournament, like 50-1 odds? We're probably just not making that. But DFS-wise, he does make a lot of sense. Coming in as a top 15 play, he's going to be someone that, once again, just give him the price point is the correct play. And so by now, I think you guys know my strategy. It's make the best build we can possible to start out the week, and then we can make some pivots from there. So it's not like we're going to be 100% on Sungjae or Cordy Connors, but at this point, as it sits right now, I am just worried about making the best build we can possible. And so for me, it is clicking in Sungjae and Cordy Connors. And then for me, like Siwoo Kim is another kind of one of those shoulder stroke plays where, given his price point, I'm perfectly happy to end up on him. He really had that one bad hole last week where it almost cost him a May cut. It was nice to see him be able to bounce back from that. I think he's a very solid play across the board this week. I'm not exactly sure he's someone I'm like really gung-ho about. Like every week I make my player pool, which is core plays, high exposure plays, mid exposure, low exposure plays. He's probably going to be a mid exposure play where it's not exactly someone you are avoiding in cash builds. Like he's not a GPP only play. He's someone I think we can play with confidence. At the same time, I think we're prioritizing Cordy Connors over him. I do think someone like Keith Mitchell is an interesting click. He is someone that got that very difficult draw at the Dell Technologies Match Play Tournament. So he had a 35th place finish at the Players' Championship. And then at the Dell Technologies Match Play Tournament, had a 52nd place finish, which is abysmal. He only had a tie there. But that's because he went against Rom, Ricky, and Billy Horschel. Easily the toughest draw. That's why we weren't targeting anyone in that group that week. Besides that, you know, has had some really good results. And price point wise, does feel like he should be at least $400 more expensive. So he's a play that I think we can end up on. And then lastly, are there any value tier plays that we can be on this week? Potentially Tom Hoagie, maybe. We saw, like, when looking at the rain stats, that Seamus Power wasn't exactly someone we want to end up on. Taylor Gooch, I think, is an interesting click. Brian Harmon is a Georgia boy, but he has not really been playing all too well. He's a tough click. Ryan Fox was abysmal last week. Really the black eye on what was a really solid week again last week. There's always one each week, guys. That was Ryan Fox last week. He is someone that's, you know, really not a bad play. I guess it wouldn't be. I think he was probably just looking ahead to his first Masters, kind of just playing the event because he was already over here. You know, might as well play in it rather than travel back to the DP Tour. You know, you're over here, might as well play. I think he was just looking ahead. And so if he was, we're going to get who was a chalk play, the correct play last week, at an extremely discounted lower ownership. It could be a blessing in disguise that he missed the cut last week, because now we should be able to get a made cut, maybe a top 30 finish or so at a cheap price tag. I feel like in terms of value plays, Danny Willett is probably the best one that we're going to get. Now, I don't think we're going to do many studs and duds builds, which is the difficult part, because it just really drops off really at the 7K price point tier. But Danny Willett's a guy that, obviously, former winner, has good course history, mixed results course history. Let's not say good. 12th miscut, 25th miscut. He has been playing relatively well-ish. It's just when he's bad, he's bad. When he's good enough, you know? So price point wise, I'm fine with it. Like, if you really love your build and you're at this price point, I guess I'd be fine plugging him in there. And then I would say, like, really the two live golfers I'd probably want to be on, and really it's probably only Kevin Na. We do see Adrian popping up in there, DP Tour stuff. I'm probably not playing him. It's just small sample size. And really, I want to focus on course history. I would say let's treat him as like the 40th best play. If we end up on him as a value play, I'm fine with it. And then Seb Straka is really, I feel like, the lowest priced player. He just seems too cheap for a guy that made the cut this tournament last year, coming in off of a 20th place finish. You know, relatively speaking, his results haven't been terrible, and he did just give us a top 10 finish 5 starts ago. So the fact that he played well last week, yes, it was a lower caliber field, but I think we're going to get a make cut out of him. So given the price point, he's easily the lowest price play that I feel kind of comfortable clicking, and even more so than Danny Willett. Like, Danny Willett's definitely a GPP only play. I'd feel fine kind of clicking Seb Straka. So I already did the core plays video, but I'll go ahead and retouch on it in this video. I would say we are just targeting one of the big three. If John Rahm is significantly underpriced compared or underowned compared to Scottie Scheffler and Rory, we are just targeting Rahm then. I would say priority would be Scottie, then Rory. But we are getting $500 difference. So I wouldn't say sacrifice your build just to get up to Scotty. But I would say try to make it first with Scotty. And then if you need to rebuild, go down to Rory. And then from there, like, Xander is kind of just an obvious play, I would say. Just, you know, pretty strong course history. Third and second place finish in there. Just been playing some spectacular golf. Pretty much just a top 20, top 25 machine. Obviously loves this course. Given the price point, it just seems like an easy click as well. And then we got Tony Finau. Kind of just the same thing. Just simply too cheap for the caliber of player that he is, for the great results that he's had at this tournament, for the form that he has been in thus far this season. And then two players that are simply just too cheap given their outlook on this week. Sun James should probably be $500 more expensive. Tremendous course history. Besides that miscut, I guess not tremendous then, but the two make cuts he's had have been top 10 finishes. He's a guy that we can see 13 out of 14 make cuts on the season. Just at this price, the correct play. That's going to be the exact same thing with Corey Connors. Basically the exact same play as Sungjae Im. Just Sungjae Im's. No, I would say they're basically the exact same play. Corey Connors is just cheaper. So I expect Corey Connors just to be extreme chalk. That's the issue, because, well, he should be. And so to close out this build, we have 7.9 left over. What are we doing? And that's kind of the tough part, because to me, this does really feel like a dead price point. And so I guess I could go with Shane Lowry, and I don't love that because his results lately have been kind of terrible, and I don't really trust anyone else in this price point range. Maybe potentially Justin Rose. And it's not like Rose, I mean, he is a bad play, but he's not like terrible. Like, he doesn't work out too well, but we have seen the upside from him there. So I don't know. We're going to have to figure out what we want to do here. It's very interesting. Like, ideally, this would probably be the build that I would end up on. Obviously, we can't -150. So I have to figure out a workaround from that. But that's all for today's video. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the coverage. I know it was a long deep dive video, but I felt like I put a lot into it for once. So hopefully you guys were able to get a lot out of it as well. Very informational, but I try to make it not have any fluff. And hopefully I was able to accomplish that. I really want it to be actionable information. And I think I accomplished that. If you guys enjoyed the coverage, make sure to give a like and subscribe. If you guys want access to the 9to5 Golf membership, it's $10 a month. Gets you access to, you know, the cheat sheet that you saw, as well as a custom model, ownership leverage, the prize picks cheat sheets, lineup builder. There's a ton. It's the best value in fantasy golf. Take advantage of it. Like, if you guys are playing every week, take advantage of it. It's $10 a month. Even if you have another membership, you can use it as an add-on as well. You're getting just another awesome data source for $10 a month. All right, that's all. Let's have a good slate. And as always, let's keep cashing.